As it prepares for a possible war in Iraq, the Bush administration is beginning to publicly discuss its plans for what could be a lengthy military occupation of that country. U.S. officials insist they're not considering the post-World War II occupation of Japan under General Douglas MacArthur as a model. But the post-war plan for Iraq is ambitious, with the Pentagon in charge of running the country at first. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
At a hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday, Secretary of State Colin Powell began to prepare Americans for a potentially long-term commitment to Iraq. Powell would not venture to guess how much a military occupation would cost or how long it would take, but he tried to reassure members of the House Budget Committee that the U.S. military would be in charge only for a limited time.
It would be our goal to quickly transition from military leadership. We don't want an American general running a Muslim country for any length of time. Transition to civilian leadership, either an American civilian initially or an international figure or an international arrangement of some kind, and to transition through that as rapidly as possible to an Iraqi government.
Initially, the commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East, General Tommy Franks, would be responsible for running Iraq. Just 3 weeks ago, a new office was set up at the Pentagon to serve as what some U.S. officials are calling the nerve center for reconstruction and humanitarian assistance for Iraq. While some officials hold out the hope of getting the United Nations to share the burden with the U.S. military, the U.N. is mired in a debate over whether war is necessary at all. For their part, some Iraqi exiles had hoped to fill a power vacuum, but at a Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing earlier in the week, Undersecretary of State Mark Grossman made clear exiles will play a limited role.
Yes, we're working with some extremely good, talented, and wonderful people who are outside of Iraq, but we have to also take into account the views of people inside of Iraq. A lot of this has to come from the bottom up.
Grossman's counterpart at the Pentagon, Douglas Feith, told the same hearing that Iraqi exiles and local bureaucrats could aid the U.S. commander.
A constitutional commission could be created to draft a new constitution and submit it to the Iraqi people for ratification. Major Iraqi governmental institutions, such as the central government ministries, could remain in place and perform the key functions of government after the vetting of top personnel to remove any who might be tainted with the crimes and excesses of the current regime.
The transition from U.S. military administration to Iraqi rule would go in stages, the officials say. And though they admit there are enormous uncertainties, Undersecretary of State Grossman predicted it would take 2 years. Anthony Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies has his doubts. He says the U.S. will be dealing with a crippled economy, thousands upon thousands of people who have been persecuted by the regime, and no proven leader who can unite the various ethnic and religious groups.
Now, to take on this challenge and put the Iraqis on the road where they can shape their own destiny is one thing. That we can probably do. But the strange idea that we can go in to Iraq and in a matter of months or years create a stable political and economic order is a dangerous illusion. It is almost as dangerous as the idea that we can make Iraq into a role model for the Middle East.
Cordesman adds that while U.S. officials insist they plan to liberate, not occupy, Iraq, many in the region don't have faith in the U.S. and don't see the U.S. as liberators. Cordesman says the U.S. will be blamed for every problem once troops invade. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.